Alicia Anderson is a master in the art of prospecting. She's currently a B2B sales coach and a strategist working with Aaron Ross at Predictable Revenue, and spends her time implementing the process that regularly doubles and triples sales for her clients. Alicia started working with us in 2011 when we co-authored the book Predictable Revenue, which is still for sale on Amazon and still a Bible that a lot of startups and small to medium businesses, as well as larger companies, use when they're thinking about implementing an outbound prospecting system. For Alicia, reading the book prompted her to jump in the prospecting world from a very different place: fashion. In this podcast, Alicia reveals how she jumped from the world of fashion to become an expert in prospecting, the tips she has for us to fast-track prospecting efforts, and what variables go into successfully finding prospects. She also dives a little bit into lists, which is interesting because lists make or break a truly predictable outbound prospecting system.
Hi, everyone. It's Mary Lou Tyler, and today's guest on the show is Alicia Anderson. Alicia is an account strategist and lead coach for Predictable Revenue, which is a company now located in Canada, Vancouver, Canada. And the company was founded by my former co-author, Aaron Ross, and he's working with a team up there now, and they've put together a really great suite of products, all the way from, at one end, a software sort of do-it-yourself thing, to a coaching service, to an outsourcing. So I've asked Alicia on the show today to help us understand some of the different ways that they serve clients. So if you're thinking about needing to either supplement your prospecting team, or you're not sure if you want to make that investment of hiring internal SDRs or business developers, what Alicia does may be a viable alternative for you, in at least to start conversation with her, so she can help guide you as to how to get started doing prospecting with the goal of creating predictable revenue. So Alicia, thank you so much for joining today.
Hi, Mary Lou. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. So as some folks may know, Alicia, Aaron, and I go back pretty far, I guess. We've known each other for a while now. Yeah. And Alicia's had a number of different roles, but she is what I consider a master in the prospecting side, from starting conversations with people we don't know and taking it all the way through to qualified op. Now, I don't know if your new position gets you all the way to close one, close loss, which you can elaborate on that. But tell us about your journey and how you got started in this particular area of the funnel, the top of funnel, and where that's taken you.
Sure. I'd love to. So my background actually, before you and I met, was not in sales at all. I actually worked in fashion. So my career prior to this, to getting into sales and prospecting specifically, was completely different vertical, different business. I was back of house. I had no interest in sales whatsoever. And I actually stumbled upon Aaron through a friend of mine who was working with him, and she was going to go on maternity leave for a little while. So she asked if I would fill in for her. And I was kind of like, oh, I kind of thought of it as a temporary thing. And she's like, he just asked that you read his new book that they just published, is Predictable Revenue. I was like, okay. I'm like, reading a sales book? I was like, that's the last thing I want to do. So the funny thing was, is of course I did. I started to read it once I started to work with him. And I was like, wow. You know, I was like, and I had the opportunity to meet you, and I was like, Mary Lou is amazing. And I was like, this book is incredible. And you guys really transformed the way I perceived sales and what was possible, because my context for it was always this very manipulative, like, just not very positive exchange between people, where, and with the book, it was really about communication and finding out if there is, for me, that's how I read it. It's like, it's really about your communication skills and being able to determine if there's a fit first before you launch into a sales conversation. And I was like, it, to me, it was revolutionary. And so I was like, this is brilliant. You know, so I really, it was perfectly in line with where I was in my life. And I was studying communication. So I just really jumped into it feet first. And it just happened to be that we had just signed up a new client with Predictable Revenue who wanted us to, for them, like we, I became the prospector that Aaron started to train from start to finish. We didn't have an outsourced service at that time, but I just became that. So there was a need and we filled it. And I learned a lot because it was a challenging client. So it's always good to get your feet wet with someone that it's not such a clear path in terms of being able to generate opportunities. So you have to test a lot and try a lot of different variations. But it was a great experience. And from there, I just basically started to, you know, become, get coached from both you and Aaron. And I shadowed Aaron quite a bit and eventually would coached along the side of him in terms of the different clients who are bringing on Predictable Revenue. So that's really how I got into prospecting. I love it. I actually love that I learned the skill set first and am able now to coach companies who are looking to either try and pilot their own prospecting program and or looking for us to actually help them come in and do it for them for a little bit so we can prove out the strategy in order to convert their ideal prospects into qualified opportunities. And then when they're ready to hire their own prospecting team, we can actually help make that an easier transition for them. Mm-hmm. So
what's interesting is when the book was written, Predictable Revenue, and this is how things evolve. I mean, when the book was written, both Aaron and I really talked about, should we focus on getting people in-house and having the strategies set for an in-house team? And then and only then, once you understand your sales message, your value proposition, et cetera, would you outsource? But what I'm hearing from you now, and it's kind of, I think it's a wonderful thing that you can go either way. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of times clients come to us and they think that they have an idea of what the strategy should be. And, you know, they obviously know more than us because we've had experience with lots of companies, but we're not experts in every single vertical. So we actually will start to put together, we do a nail a niche exercise to make sure that we're on the right path. We have a messaging workshop that I'm actually creating right now. And we sort of figure out a path to start testing. And we can figure out pretty quickly if their initial ideas were spot on. And if not, if we need to adapt them, because you know, there's so many variables in order to prospect successfully. So it could be you're targeting the wrong ideal buyers. It could be your messaging is slightly off. It could be your list. So there's so many things to get correct. So there's a lot of room for variation, but we're able to sort it out pretty quickly. I would say somewhere between 3 to 6 months is usually what our engagements look like for outsourcing.
Okay. Yeah. And one of the things I wanted to point out to the audience is that because Alicia's group has under their belt, you know, combined years of experience working with different verticals, you probably have different cadences. One of the questions that comes up all the time is, you know, how should I sequence? How do I blend the phone in? You know, what does my cadence look like? So I'm sure because you can dig deep into all of the breadth of accounts you've worked with, you can come up with at least a general baseline of, look, we're going to go in with these types of cadences, this type of sequence. We're going to blend this with, you know, email with phone this way. And because you can fast track that, I'm sure your clients get up and running a heck of a lot faster than if we do an internal model where we're trying to sort of blend, you know, what they have technology-wise. That's another issue. So in your experience now, you said 3 to 6 months. What can someone expect when they engage with you on from an outsourced perspective? Like what does the day in the life look like when you start engaging?
Sure. So we basically start off with a nail and niche workshop. So we'll have a series of meetings actually to get everything set up. So we'll start with that initial identifying the segments of businesses that you want to go after, ideally, where you can have the most success with prospecting. And we'll sort of understand those buyer personas and then work through messaging that would be compelling for them and actually design the content strategy from there. And then actually at the same time, for prospecting, we don't prospect out of the same domain that our clients use for their regular email service. So we actually set up an alternative domain so that we can prospect from there, just because we don't want to create any issues if there's any spam issues that come up. Because Google is, I don't know if your experience, but because we use an automation tool and we're sending usually about 500 emails a week, we just don't want to run into any issues where we would compromise your regular domain. So we also start to take care of all of that in the back end so that within the first couple of weeks, we'd actually be ready to start sending your first campaigns on your behalf. So, and we say within the first 6 weeks, we're basically testing the messaging, and you'll start to see a couple of handoffs usually during that time. And by the 6th week, the account will be fully ramped and you're going to start to see 10 handoffs per month. And then we just continue at that point. After 6 weeks, we could actually start to launch a different campaign with another vertical if you like. So there's lots of testing and refinement to be done. But that's essentially the process. And for us, how we know a campaign is working is basically our guideline is the positive reply rate should be between 3% and 5%, and then a handoff rate of at least 0.5% or higher.
Okay. And can you help the audience understand what a handoff, how you describe that? Because in the book, Predictable Revenue, there was something called a 315 process where we did an Are We a Fit, an AWAF call for 15 minutes. Then we did a 1 hour scoping call and then a 2 hour discovery call. Now that's an in-house model with a more complex type of sale. So can you describe how that has morphed into your handoff process?
Sure. So this is a little bit different. The handoff that we're talking about is because we are solely creating these conversations over email. Our prospecting, our account strategists don't get on the phone and speak on behalf of our clients. So we hand off a little bit earlier than the process in the book. Mm-hmm. So a handoff, how we define it, is someone who raises their hand and basically says, yes, I'm interested in a meeting. And then we introduce either with some companies, it's an account executive, other times it could be the CEO directly. It depends on how early they are in terms of testing their program. Mm-hmm. And so we'll basically say, okay, perfect. I'm going to loop you into this person who's your best resource for initial conversation. And then they determine at that point, once they have a meeting, if that is a true opportunity or not. And all of that data is really important to us, especially at the beginning of a campaign, because we know how to modify the content after we learn, yes, this was spot on. This is exactly who and what we want to be reaching out to. And or actually, this was a smaller deal than who we're looking for, or this wasn't quite the right buyer. So how do we then adapt our content to make sure that we're getting to the right people? So it's all great information early on. But ideally, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, ideally, once we have that process optimized, then we will be having conversations with those ideal buyers and creating qualified opportunities.
That's perfect. So let's talk the sales stack, which is the way people describe the tools that mm-hmm. one would need from an outsourced perspective. Let's tell us, if I was a company, I came to you and I wanted to start up. And it doesn't even have to be a startup. It could be I work with larger companies and they may decide, you know, we're going to try outbound prospecting for a particular product line and with a particular line of business manager. And we have tools in place, but, you know, by no means do we have the elaborate sales stack that I've been learning about with a lot of the SaaS folks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at a minimum, what would I need in order to be able to engage in an outsource model? What tools would I need to have? And you don't have to give me names of tools, but like the role of the tool.
Okay, so with predictable revenue specifically, you actually don't need anything. We sort of do it all for you. But ideally, you would have some sort of list source. And you could, there's lots of different ways to build lists. So I think out what your ideal customer profile looks like. There, you can actually build lists customized where you're identifying the companies and then using like an outsource service to actually build out those list of names and ideal people. Or you can actually buy lists from list services. And part of predictable revenue, we have agreements with, I want to say like 30 different list building services. We invest heavily in that. So, you know, there's lots of different ways to build lists, whether you want to pull them based off of different technologies companies are using or, you know, just general lists. There's, we have the capabilities. So a lot of our clients really love that feature because list building is a pain in the butt. So we're able to take that off of their shoulders and actually build lists for them. And then in terms of our software pretty much handles all of the automation. So it really simplifies the process for whoever's doing the prospecting. They can basically spend half an hour every morning managing their inbox. And the system is basically taking care of everything on the back end. So the system generates, will send out 100 initials every day, including the follow-ups to any emails that are already in a sequence. So at a max, I think we can send out 500 emails per day, including follow-ups. That's what Google allows. So that's essentially how our process works. But if you weren't using predictable revenue, you would want to use some sort of automation tool. And there's lots of apps out there that can manage your different templates as well as the metrics that go along with your sending. So there's lots of different variables out there for you.
Okay. So one of the things I did hear was that this is primarily an email engine. That you're basically getting people to the point where they're raising their hand, that they're interested in having conversations. So their level of awareness may be somewhere in the, you know, this sounds interesting versus I've got a real problem, so that I do need someone to talk to about that. Now, tell us with respect to Google, is this running through Gmail or is this, when you say Google, do you mean a Gmail type of engine?
Yeah, so we do use Google in terms of setting up. We set up the domain for you, and then we actually create a Google account, a Google email account on our behalf. And so that's what we're using primarily to send out our campaigns. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're actually researching other alternatives to just using Google, but we haven't actually created what those alternates may be. And we do, I should mention, we've created a calling feature within the software and we're actually piloting it now. So it's not available for use, for general use, but it will be, I imagine, in the next few months available. Yeah. So we're looking to integrate phone and email touches specifically for our clients for the product side. And we're talking about internally how we could do that on behalf for our clients. I think we just would do it for fewer clients than say our full workload, but ensuring that we were set up successfully to have those initial are we a fit conversations or mapping calls.
Right. I think the phone, it's funny because I was just teaching a workshop yesterday and the phone is this mysterious thing to a lot of people, but blending it in with the email engine is really the key to bump up those response rates. So to move that 3% positive reply up further really is putting the phone in place. What that does, obviously, is reduces the lag, and that predictable revenue formula that's on page 42 of the book still applies, that you're trying to reduce the lag in the pipeline in order to be able to generate a consistent, scalable stream of sales qualified leads. So that's great, Alicia. Wow. So you're a coach, and tell us about that side of things. I mean, when you go in to a client, what is your typical scenario of engaging, and how much homework do you give?
Oh, there's so much homework, actually. It's so funny. I mean, you know, the beginning of the process is the most, I think, labor intensive. It's just really educating the client on the methodology and the thought process behind everything. And for their initial campaigns. So there's a lot of work for both us and the client in the beginning. And then we get to a point where we actually put the framework in place, and they're starting to send emails, and we're starting to do testing. And so it will smooth out in terms of the homework, but then, you know, basically they're taking on ensuring that they're taking on the process and implementing the steps. And so then it's just a process of testing and iteration after that. But, I mean, every client's different. Actually what I found is my passion in all of this in the training process is actually the content creation. Mm-hmm. So I am really, I'm a big believer in customized content. I would say with Predictable Revenue up until now, they've been using more of a mass approach in terms of their content. So I'm actually excited to work with them and actually create new ways of approaching content, because I think Predictable Revenue, thanks to you and Aaron, has been such a success, and it's been called the Bible, sales Bible of Silicon Valley. And as a result, there's so many people using the methodology, and they haven't necessarily been trained by us. So they may not be doing it very well, but they are doing it. And so as a result, we're dealing with, you know, people just being bombarded sometimes by, you know, prospectors. Yeah. And I think it becomes even more important that the content is really relevant and engaging and has and provides value. So and so that's really my passion inside of all this. So I love cracking the code on what would that compelling content look like and actually figuring that out. So that's something that I love and I look forward to with each client. So
yeah, that's great. I mean, we again, back to this workshop that we just finished, you know, there's three levels, what I call, of personalization for emails. One is the, you know, highly personalized. Then there's a hybrid where you're blending in data elements that you've captured maybe during previous sales conversations, or if you've done some mining of the data so that you get some of the social impacts stored that you can reference. And then there's the completely automated leveraging the database kind of email. So obviously Predictable Revenue came out with the completely leveraged version.
Right.
And adding in a hybrid is another way, especially for the nurture sequences, because you've had those conversations with the buyers. So you've collected hopefully something meaningful that you can then put them in the right track when they're going through nurture. But I'm with you. I mean, I love persuasive copywriting to the point that I've probably enrolled in whatever, however many classes I could find on the topic. As you know, I'm the same way. I just think content is amazing. And the click-throughs and creating the content based on the levels of awareness, there's just a lot to it that you can get your arms around. And so I'm happy to hear that you're focusing on that, because, and I really want the audience to hear, Alicia's background is not coming from a sales background. Well, it is, but it's not specifically prospecting. And, you know, through this whole process, she's discovered, you know, her unique genius, what she loves to do. And what's cool about our area of the pipeline is that there's so many moving parts that you can really pick a specialty and be really good at it, and then apply your knowledge across multiple accounts, which it sounds like that you have been able to do. So that's great.
All right. Thank you.
Exciting. So what's in store? What how do you see your role evolving at Predictable Revenue, and what kinds of things can you help our clients that are sort of listening to this thinking, wow, I've never really considered an outsource, or I've heard that, you know, horror stories about it. So first tell us, you know, what's on the horizon for you, and then give us an understanding of the ideal account or client that you can serve and serve predictably.
Right. Okay. Great questions. So in terms of what's on the horizon for me, actually, I don't know. I mean, there's so much opportunity, you know, with any startup, and predictable revenue is still, you know, is very much a startup, even though we've been around for a few years, because there's now a new arm of the business. It's like everything. It's like kind of like, or like things change from day to day. So it's hard to like, I'm very spiritual, so I tend to not really create a plan. Like, mm-hmm. I just go with the flow and I ebb and flow with what's happening around me. I'm excited to be there and I love working with clients. So this is really that opportunity for me. And I don't worry too much about the future. I know that predictable revenues continue to be successful. Like, I had no idea when I first worked with you guys back in, I want to say 2010, 2011, where we would be today. And so it's like kind of, you know, you just leap, and I'm sure in another, you know, 4 years, it's going to be in a completely different place that we couldn't have anticipated now. So I'm just along for the ride and I'm enjoying every minute. I really love coaching and I love to be able to contribute to the account strategy team with my experience. So I guess I just take it day by day. And then in terms of our ideal clients, ideally we're going towards a direction where we want to focus on companies who already have a SDR team in place of maybe 2 or 3 sales development reps. And that's where we can really augment and help accelerate their business and help them scale very quickly. They may have done some initial testing and prospecting and had some success, but haven't really been able to put that machine in place. So we're looking to help them with that. But we don't want to walk away from the smaller companies who are just now looking to sort of pilot the prospecting arm as well. I would say we're never going to walk away from that business. So we'll always have a part of our business reserved for those smaller startups. And so those companies where we actually come in and they may not have even a salesperson in place, where it's really like a CEO and maybe one other person. And we come in and create the strategy for them and help show them what's possible through Outbound. And then pretty much within 3 to 6 months, they would start to hire their salespeople and their first prospector. So it's sort of like 2 different tracks, I would say, but we can help both clients. So,
yeah. And the first track where you're talking about the in-place SDR team, mm-hmm. there have been a lot of conversations that I've had with folks that say, you know, hey, we tried predictable revenue and it didn't work. You know, so that's always like, okay, define, didn't work.
What right. does that
mean? You know, first, let's start there so that we get an understanding of, you know, what you've experienced. And so, you know, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that leveraging the outreach channel or outbound prospecting, whatever you want to call it, as part of the suite of business development that you're doing, whether it's inbound, whether you're doing direct mail, this is just one arm, one lever that you can pull. Mm-hmm. And this is still the only channel that you can, right down to the penny, you can actually measure the exactly. success of it. So I think it's in everyone's best interest to consider using this channel, or at least understanding what the channel can do for you from the standpoint of augmenting, supplementing, in some cases replacing your current prospecting and lead generation efforts. And doing it right takes time. So having someone that can hold your hand through that and show you the different ways that you can generate these sales qualified leads is a blessing. So I'm excited about your service, and I'm excited that you're going to be, you know, taking these folks under your wing and applying the newest technology, because, you know, let's face it, predictable revenue, the book itself is 5 years old now. And so some of the focus in there still works, but some of it is very outdated. As you just said, you know, one of the key points was the email engine. You can't get away with just blasting out mass emails. It just doesn't work. You have to create compelling content, which is what Alicia was talking about. But you also, in creating compelling content, you have to understand the story structure of an email and how to get people to sort of lean into their computers and ask the question, how did they do that? Or, wow, I didn't know about that. You know, so that's what Alicia specializes in now is changing the psyche of someone with hands on their hips saying, show me, you know, and actually getting them to like hit the reply button, you know. So that's so great. So Alicia, tell us how we can get a hold of you and connect with you to follow what you're doing.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you can absolutely follow me on LinkedIn. You're welcome to connect with me. Or you can email me directly at Alicia, A-L-I-C-I-A, @carb.io.
Okay, and so LinkedIn is Alicia Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. And CARB.io email address is Alicia @carb, C-A-R-B as in boy, .io. Thank you so much for your time, Alicia. It was great catching up with you, and I wish you all the best. It's exciting what you're doing.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Okay.